My name is Kendall Rasnick.
God is merciful. What does it mean to be merciful? What is God's mercy? And of course, how can we obtain God's mercy if it's something that we need in our lives? I hope you'll join me today on this study as we look at the idea and the attribute of a merciful God. Well, let's just dive right into the topic and look at the idea of the definition itself, merciful. What do you think that means? It's really not too hard. Merciful, full of mercy. The idea that God is merciful means that He is a God that is full of mercy. And mercy itself means compassion. It means having compassion for someone, especially, we might say, if they don't deserve it. I'm sure you've had mercy given to you at some point. Maybe a policeman has pulled you over for going too fast in your car, and after talking with him, he decides to be merciful. You don't really deserve being let go without a ticket, but nevertheless, he lets you go with just a warning and says, "You've done wrong, but I'm going to not give you a ticket this time and just ask you to drive more carefully." Well, that's mercy. That's simply showing someone compassion, even if they don't necessarily deserve it. You've probably done the same thing to other people. Someone has done you wrong, or someone has done something against you, and you say, well, you know, when they ask for, come talk to you about it, you just say, well, I should perhaps, you know, punish you for that, but I'll be merciful. Maybe it's one of your children. You show them compassion. You show them mercy and say, you deserve something. You deserve punishment, but I'm going to show you mercy and compassion. Well, when we look at the idea that God is merciful, He's full of that mercy. That's exactly what He's full of. He's full of that compassion. Even though we often don't deserve the mercy, we don't deserve the compassion, because when we sin, we rebel against God. But nevertheless, time and time again, He shows us mercy. He shows us compassion instead of giving us what we deserve. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So when we rebel against God and we sin against God, we deserve separation from Him. We deserve punishment. But God has been so merciful to us that He has allowed us to have an opportunity to have those sins forgiven. And He, instead of giving us the punishment that we deserve, He's shown us so much mercy and so much compassion. So we get the idea of what mercy is: compassion for someone even if they don't necessarily deserve it. And we understand that God is merciful. We want to look at a couple of Bible verses now, though, to see that you don't just take my word for it. Let's look at God's word and see that it describes God as a merciful God who is full of mercy. Let's turn over to Nehemiah chapter 9. If you have your Bible, why don't you open it up and follow along with me. Nehemiah chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 31. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 31 says this: "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God." It doesn't get a lot more plainer than that, does it? It says very clearly, God is a gracious God, a merciful God. He is full of that mercy. At many times, the children of Israel or other people rebelled against Him. He could have given them death, the punishment that they deserved, but instead He showed them mercy. He showed them compassion. Let's continue on with Psalm chapter 103, verse 8. Psalm chapter 103 and verse 8. Let's look at what that says. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. His mercy is plentiful. He is gracious." Grace is probably defined here as unmerited favor, something you get even though you don't deserve. And that's exactly what we've been talking about: compassion that we did not deserve. So here in Psalm chapter 103, the Bible describes God as someone who is full of that grace. He's able to give you favor and good things, even if it's not what you deserve. And along those same lines, He's able to give mercy. Even if we don't deserve compassion, and we don't deserve a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance, He is full of mercy and gives those things to us. Well, let's continue on with another Bible verse that talks about the idea that God is merciful. Let's look in the New Testament this time to the book of Luke in the first chapter. The book of Luke, chapter 1, noticing verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Once again, verse after verse in the Bible continues to describe God as being a God of mercy. And again, along those lines, he is full of grace, that unmerited favor that he bestows upon us. Let's look at a verse in Ephesians, several verses actually, in Ephesians chapter 2. This unmerited favor, this grace, this gift that you don't necessarily deserve, but you get anyway. God is a God full of grace. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 5. Follow along with me in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened mean to be brought alive, to be made alive. By grace ye are saved. Look at this verse here for a second. Even when we're dead in sins, when we sin, we rebel against God. As we said, the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. When we rebel against God, we deserve death. We deserve punishment. And yet he has made us alive. He's quickened us together with Christ. And why did he do this? Is it what we deserve? No. The verse goes on to say, by grace ye are saved. It was God's grace, his unmerited favor toward us, his compassion toward us, that even offered the gift of salvation to mankind, because it's certainly not what we deserve. We deserve the wages of sin, which is death and punishment. Well, now let's continue on in Ephesians chapter 2 and go to the next verse, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, there it is again, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. These verses are describing the grace that God had to us through Christ, through the death of Christ on the cross, that we might have a chance at eternal life. Verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Let's look at that verse for a moment. The idea of grace can be misunderstood in the ideas of the religious world. But this is saying by grace you are saved through faith. Now you do have to have faith. You do have to believe. And belief is described in the New Testament as a work. You do have to do works. You have to believe. You have to obey through faith. Faith without works is dead. James says that in the book of James. So faith, works, those things help you with salvation, but it's because of God's grace that that salvation is possible. Some people get confused and say, well, it's only God's grace and you don't have to do anything in order to be saved. Other people might say, well, you can work your way to heaven. You just got to do a lot of works. It's actually a combination, we might say, of the two. God allows us, through his grace, the opportunity to be saved. But we still have to take advantage of that if we want. God is not going to force that upon us. God does not force you to be saved. As the verse says, by grace are you saved through faith. You have to have faith that God will save you, and you have to obey and have faith that God will save you. So in that regard, we still have to obey God. We still have to take advantage of that gift. But nevertheless, it's a gift. A great example is someone giving you $20 just out of the blue. Just out of the blue, they walk up to say, now I have a $20 bill. And then if you walk over here and take this $20 bill, then you can have it. Well, it's that person's grace that even offered the $20 in the first place, isn't it? It's a favor, it's a gift that you didn't really deserve. You didn't do anything for it, you didn't work for it. But that person holds it up and says, I'm offering you a gift. But what would happen if you never walked over and got it? What happened if you didn't believe that it was true? What would happen if you said, well, I believe it's true, but I'm not going to go over and get it? Well, then you still wouldn't have the $20. that man would still be holding it, and you'd be there without the $20. So the $20 is a gift of grace, but you still have to do what you need to do to accept that gift. It's not automatically forced upon you. God does not force things upon us and take away our free will. Instead, he offers this gift. He says, I've given you my son to pay the penalty for your sins. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave that to us as a gift. But some people will reject it. Some people will not accept that gift. And some people will therefore not be saved. But those who believe, those who by faith accept the gift and say, I will accept it on my behalf, I will obey God, and I will do what he says, then they get that gift and they get salvation. But what ultimately started that gift, what ultimately offered that gift to mankind, it was God's grace. That shows us how full of grace and how full of mercy he is. We need look no further than the cross of Christ to understand the magnitude of God's grace and God's mercy. Let's dive back into those verses again, looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9. Let's read verse 9 right now. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So now that clears up the confusion that you can't work your way to heaven. It wasn't as if you were going to do enough works to say, okay, well, you've got forgiveness of your sin now. The only thing that would offer forgiveness of sin is the blood of Christ. Now, we do have to do works in order to accept that gift, as I explained before. But it isn't only works that save us. It's a combination of things. God's grace combined with our faith, our obedience, and our works. And those all together will give us the salvation that God offers to us. It's a gift offered to mankind, but mankind has to get up and do something to accept it. Otherwise, it's just like the man holding the $20. You can believe that he has $20 to give you, but unless you get up and do something about it, you'll never get the $20. Well, as we said, we need look no further than the cross of Christ to understand how merciful and how gracious God is. God did not have to leave heaven, walk upon earth as a man, suffer as a man, and die on the cross for us. But he did. And that shows just how merciful and compassionate to mankind that God really has been. Well, how could God's mercy be freely given? Justice required that sin be punished, right? The wages of sin is death. According to man has rebelled against God, and therefore we've sinned. We deserve the punishment of death. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. Let's read what it says there. This goes back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, right in the beginning, God said, I have a rule, I have a commandment, and if you break it, if you rebel against it, the punishment is death. And he repeats that again in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Let's also look at Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Now, these verses explain very clearly what happens to those that would rebel against God in sin. Let's read in verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, it's very plain right there. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And let's go on to verse 20. Of Ezekiel chapter 18. Read that with me, won't you? Ezekiel 18:20. Once again, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Well, not only do those verses explain the soul that sinneth, it shall die, it very clearly says, you're responsible for your own sin, and no one else is. I'm not responsible for anyone else's sins, including Adam's or my father's. I'm only responsible for my sin. But the consequences are clear. The soul that sins, it shall die. So God set up this rule. You obey me, you live. You rebel against me, you die. you're separated from me. Well, how were we able to achieve this mercy? And again, Christ made that possible. Christ made possible God's mercy. Even though we deserved sin, God offered His Son on our behalf to pay the penalty of death. And that allows us to be able to be washed in His blood and be cleansed of our sin. When man sinned and rebelled against God, it took a perfect man to pay that penalty as a perfect sacrifice. So when Jesus came down from heaven to live upon the earth, He lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross, and offered a perfect sinless sacrifice to God for mankind's behalf. And God accepted that. God accepted that. And now, if we take advantage of that and say we want to accept Christ's sacrifice on our behalf and we obey Him and take that gift, then we can have salvation. It was really through Christ's death on the cross that God's mercy was displayed and offered to mankind. Let's look at a couple of Bible verses along these lines. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 8. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There it very clearly says, we were sinners, we were rebelling against God, but at that time, Christ died for us. Now, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Look at those words in verse 9. We shall be saved from wrath. That's the wrath of God that righteously would come upon us as a punishment for sin. But because of Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from that wrath. And now verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We're made right. We're brought back into the idea of being back in God's presence because of Christ. We're reconciled. And verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It's by Christ we have received atonement. And atonement means a washing, a cleaning, if you will, an atonement, making up for, making penance for. And it's because of Christ. As we are sinners, we could not offer that perfect sacrifice of my life to God on my behalf, because I'm not a perfect sacrifice. I have sin in my life. I've sinned in the past. I'm not a perfect sacrifice. But Christ was. And Christ could offer that on behalf of all of mankind. Well, how do you take advantage of this gift? How do you take advantage of the mercy and the compassion that God offers you? Well, as I've alluded to before, you take advantage of it by obeying God. Let's look at some Bible examples going back to Genesis chapter 6, Noah. Here's a guy who found grace. It says very clearly in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, how did Noah get that grace? It says he found it. How did Noah tap into the grace of God and get it for his own life? Think of the situation here. The earth is full of sin. The earth is full of people rebelling against God. It's hard to even find people that were willing to walk in the right ways. But Genesis 6:8 tells us, but Noah did. Noah was obedient to God. Noah followed the commandments of God, and that's how Noah got grace in the eyes of the Lord. God spoke to Noah and said, Noah, there is sin in the world, and I'm going to destroy it with a global flood. And Noah, if you want to be saved, here's what you can do. Now, there's the free gift right there. God didn't have to tell Noah necessarily, did he? God didn't have to tell Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with a global flood. He could have just destroyed it. But instead, he offered Noah grace. Why? Because Noah was walking in the right ways. Noah was following God's paths. But he still had more to do. God said, you need to make an ark. You need to bring in the animals. You need to bring in your family. And whoever is inside that ark, Noah, will be saved. Now, that was a great gift. He even gave them the dimensions of how to build the ark and how to survive the flood. He gave him the information he needed. So Noah not only heard it, he believed the information, and then he acted upon it, and he obeyed. He built the ark. And what do you know? He and his family went inside the ark and were saved from the global flood. Now, once again, what would happen if Noah had not done any of those steps? If God had not shown his grace, it wouldn't have been possible for him to survive the global flood. If God had not given him the information and Noah did not believe it, in other words, if Noah did not believe what God said, he would not have been saved because he would have been offered the gift of grace but rejected it because he didn't believe it. What if God offered the gift of grace saying, Noah, here's how you can be saved. Noah believed that it was true but then didn't act upon it and didn't build the ark. Well, he wouldn't have been saved. You see, it took a combination of all those things. God had to offer the gift of grace of salvation. Through his grace, he offered salvation anyway. And Noah had to believe that and then act upon it and obey God. And because of all that, he was saved, he and his family. That's how you found grace. That's how Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, by obeying what God had to say and taking that gift, doing what it took to take the gift of grace and accept it. Let's look at another example from the book of Genesis, Lot. You may have heard of the story of Lot. He and his family were living in a very sinful place, similar to Noah, cities called Sodom and Gomorrah, who were very sinful at this time, and God decided he was not going to put up with it anymore. He has mercy, but it does end after a certain point, in the sense that he will eventually be just. And he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's Lot. Lot's doing the right thing. Lot's not one of these rebellious people against God. So God showed him mercy. Let's read in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. There it says, while he lingered talking about Lot, the men who had been sent by God to take him out of the city, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Well, we know what happened to the city because of the biblical story. The cities were destroyed. But why was Lot saved? Because the Lord was merciful to him. Because he was not following the ways of the world. He was following God. You see, that's how we can find God's grace. We obey him. We listen to him. And God will give us those wonderful gifts that we don't deserve, such as salvation. Let's also read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. This is talking about the story of Lot. We know that Lot was not living like the other sinful people of Sodom and Gomorrah because he's described here in 2 Peter as being just and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot was vexed. He was frustrated because he was living in a place with all this evil going on around him, and he didn't want to partake of it. He didn't want that going on. So we see that he was living righteously according to God, and God showed him mercy and grace. Well, let's also look at a few other verses that we've got lined up here in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2. Let's read Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. There it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How are we going to get the grace of God? We're going to obey him by denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust, and living righteously in this present world. Let's go on to Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're told in God's word that we not we need to be different from this world. We need to be a different kind of person. We need to be transformed, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, let's also read Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 16. There it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." How do we get free from sin? How do we take advantage of God's grace and salvation? We start obeying His law, His righteousness. We obey His commandments, and then we can have that gift of salvation. And then once we have that mercy, we need to show that to others. God did not just give us that mercy so that we can enjoy it just for ourselves. We need to show that mercy unto other people. As God has blessed us with gifts, including mercy, we need to then show that to our fellow man. Let's read a verse from the book of Luke, chapter 6. There in verse 36 it says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." There's no doubt that God is full of mercy. He showed us that in the cross, in the death of His Son, offered as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And it was because of that that we even have the chance to have the gift of salvation. Will you take that gift today? Will you obey God so that you can take advantage of the gift of salvation, that merciful gift that God offers to you? Please let us know if there's a way we can help you in obtaining that gift.